Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. John 20, verse 15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" I know Jesus is without sin, but he does end a sentence with a preposition there, which should be duly noted. Bit of a gray area for the Lord. Sinless, but grammar. I want to talk about the many ways we get things wrong, grammatical and otherwise. But first, I want to mention to you I think it goes without question that the best musician to come out of Detroit is Stevie Wonder, really born in Saginaw, but we'll give him credit for that. The second best musician to come out of Detroit is Madonna Louise Veronica Ciccone, who went by her first name, who in 1987 recorded a song I want to mention. But if you think she's not current, just know that she has just released a song with The Weeknd, produced by Metro Boomin. So she's still making music. That's not for everybody, but that's for some of you. It's actually not that bad. In 1989, she released a song called Like a Prayer, which is the theme for John chapter 20, this passage we heard read today, because the song begins, "Everyone must stand alone. Life is a mystery. I hear you call my name, and it feels like home." Please do not fill in the blanks there, Alan. You call my name and it feels like home. And of course, Jesus says Mary's name, Mary, and it's this very powerful, poignant moment where she then realizes who he is and that he's Jesus. And it's this poignant, touching moment. And many people have that sort of, But there's more. There's more than just he remembers her name and she sees who he is and all that. And it's really good news, I think, for people who get things wrong. Again, I don't know if you ever get things wrong. I don't know if you live with people who get things wrong. I allow myself 3 mistakes per calendar year. I had one this morning, and so that's my first one for the year. I think I'll be good until December. But many people get things wrong a lot. And John 20 has some grace for people who get things wrong. Because, you know, we're not actually that good at grace. We're actually not that good when people do things wrong. Even when we ourselves do wrong, we are quick to condemn ourselves. I don't know if you wake up with critical voices in your ear. I don't know if the first thing that you think when you look in the mirror in the morning is, you know, these sorts of things. We are not compassionate and kind to ourselves. We're not good at grace for others. And there is grace upon grace in this passage, and that's what I want to talk about. So let's walk through the passage a little bit, and then we'll see what we might get from here with a little help at the end from Robert Downey Jr. So Mary gets up on the first Easter Sunday and goes to a graveyard. Now, it says she goes to the tomb, but it wasn't just some standalone mausoleum somewhere. It was in a graveyard. Every culture tends to keep their dead in a certain area, whether it's Oakwood Cemetery or Waco Memorial. We don't just have tombs everywhere, and same for them. And they would have these tombs often in kind of on a cliffside because there's no real topsoil in Israel. You can't dig and bury 6 feet under. You have to carve a cave out of a rock, a limestone cliff or hillside often. It's still done today. And so after you carve that out, you have to have a door situation. And so they would employ these large round stones. They'd roll in front of the tomb, and that's what they've got going on here. And so Mary goes there, and she is approaching, and she sees that the stone has already been rolled away. This massive, huge stone has been rolled away. And this is one of the first of many things that Mary gets wrong. She doesn't have a My Toyota moment. You know what I'm talking about. You saw the ads if you were alive in the 80s and ever owned a TV. My Toyota. Right? I don't know why someone gets that excited about a Camry, but hey. So She's not excited when she sees the stone rolled away, which is crazy because Jesus told them like 5,000 times he would die and on the third day he would rise again. But she couldn't get it. She couldn't understand. Maybe she thought it was a figure of speech. Maybe she just couldn't compute. But she sees the stone rolled away and she thinks, grave robbers. She runs and tells Peter and John, and they come and check out the situation. Very masculine energy that John records he got there first. You know, when you're writing the Bible, if you run a foot race, put it in there so that no one ever forgets that you were a little faster than St. Peter. So they get there, and they themselves get it wrong. You know, John doesn't want to look in. Peter goes in, very Peter of him to just go in and check. But then John follows, and they also don't have this, yes, just yes, it's awesome. It's a little, they're kind of weak. They leave. They see that he's not there. They leave. So these are people that are just getting it wrong every way they can. And it continues for Mary. After she's then left alone at the tomb, she's asked a question twice. The same question twice. She's asked by the angels. And then in verse 15, she's asked by Jesus, dressed as the gardener, why are you weeping? It's an interesting question because it's kind of a dumb question. If you're in a cemetery, let's say you're at Oakwood Cemetery and you see somebody crying at a grave, you don't walk up to them and say, why are you crying? Right? You cry at cemeteries. That's what you do when you go to see the grave of someone you have lost. It's a weird question to ask in a cemetery. Why are you crying is a good question to ask at a bowling alley on wing night. You know, how could you possibly be sad here? Bowler there, Catherine. But at a cemetery, you don't ask someone why they're crying because you know why they're crying. So both these things, when they're asking, when the angels ask and when Jesus asks, there's something going on there. They're sort of saying, don't you remember? We talked about this. This was going to happen. This resurrection was going to be the real thing. You should be joyous. Jesus is risen. Why are you crying? When Jesus asks, why are you weeping? You know, she thinks he's the gardener. I almost see him kind of winking like, Mary, why are you crying? We talked about this, right? But she still doesn't get it. She gets it wrong too. And this is a story of people who are just getting it wrong over and over. Just before this, you know, on the night that Jesus was arrested, all his disciples betrayed him and fled. Peter betrays him very publicly, refuses to even acknowledge that he's ever met the man. Jesus is just left totally alone from the people that promised to follow him to the end. We will go with you always, Jesus. Si se puede, yes we can, all the way we're with you to the bitter end. And they don't. Every single one of them fails. And they fail on Easter Sunday as well, which is great. Which is great because this church, as great as you all look, and well done getting here, being here, showering, everything. Well done. But I bet that you have gotten things wrong, maybe even today. If you got children dressed in not sweatpants today, and you got them to church, I mean, I bet there may be some of you lost your temper. Maybe there were words around that. Maybe there was some words around where, which service to attend and when to get there. And there are many ways we get things wrong. And those are just the little things. They're the big things too. There are people in this world who marry someone who they know is the wrong person, but they don't want to give mom and dad the satisfaction. You know, they said this is the wrong person. It's not, and you kind of know it, but you still march down the aisle and say, I do, because you don't, you know, it's sort of a spite marriage. Whenever I use this example, nobody wants to give me eye contact, and I don't understand why that is. There's a lot of looking at shoes. There are people who think that partying and all that is going to be the thing that fulfills them. And it does for a while, but then to quote Axl Rose, we used to do a little and then a little wouldn't do it. And the little got more and more. And then your life has gone off the rails and you find yourself in a church basement chain smoking and saying, hi, my name is so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. And we get things wrong. People get stuck in grief. And this is actually almost always the case. Grief never really leaves you. It comes back around. You learn to live with it and to hold it and carry it with you, but it never goes away because grief is just a form of love with no place to go, as Dolly Parton has said. And that love stays with you, and so the grief stays with you, and you can't really carry it. It's too heavy. And so these are all these ways where we humans find our weakness, our inability, our bentness, feeling like we get things wrong. And to that situation come these disciples, and especially Mary. And this is where it's so personal and beautiful, where he sees her. She's gotten it wrong. She thinks the grave has been robbed. She thinks that he's the gardener. She doesn't have any reaction to the angels that appear and say, he's not here. And she still can't get past her lack of belief in the resurrection. And when you find someone who is wrong, you probably correct them or think judgmental thoughts about them and try to correct them telepathically. I don't know if you've ever done that. Passive aggressive is a good way. Like, are you wearing that? You know, it's not exactly you're wrong, but it basically is. Questions, what were you thinking? That's not a sincere question. They're not really curious about the thought process that went into that set of decisions. We tend to see people that are wrong and we kind of point it out at them. The Christian version is speaking the truth in love, which is really not that. And Jesus doesn't do any of that. He just says Mary. Just says her name with love and compassion. It's an invitation, Mary. And it's so personal. It's not this universal, I am risen. It's Mary to you. And I do think that's what we need, because we are individual sinners. Corporate sinners, yes, but individual sinners. And this is the thing that we carry. And we need to know that Jesus is for us, that the resurrection is for us. And it is. And and he makes that so clear just in saying her name. And he says even more. He says, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And he says that this is for all the disciples. He says to go tell them, I am ascending to my Father. He could have just said that, my Father, my God. But he says, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Meaning that you are just as in as I am. He is just as much your Father as he is my Father. This is an incredible statement of grace. These are people that have fallen flat on their faces, spiritually, morally, ethically, in every way. And he says, you are still in. My Father and your Father. My God and your God. So if you have ever been wrong, if you are wrong now, if your faith is weak, if your heart is stuck, if you are someone who is in the box canyons of life, if you are dealing with paralysis and anxiety and all those things that you hide very well but are there, Jesus says, I go to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father. And he knows your name. He knows your name. In 2001, Reginald Dwyer, also known as Sir Elton John, recorded an album called Songs from the West Coast. And Elton John is someone who knows a little bit about getting things wrong and about death and resurrection. If you've seen Rocket Man, the biopic about his life, you know that the whole movie is an AA meeting. And this song that he wrote in 2001 is called I Want Love. And in the video, it shows not Elton John, doesn't appear once, but it shows Robert Downey Jr., who's also someone who has been to the depths of addiction and depression and has found life on the other side of death. And in the video, it just follows RDJ as he's walking, and the camera follows him, and you just see his face as he sings along with the words of this song. And what he says is, men like me are dead in places. Other men are liberated. I want love. And every single person in this room is carrying around some kind of death, whether it's a death of a dream or whether it's a death of who you thought you'd be, or a real death, a grief that you carry from someone you love and still love, even though they are not here. And to me, this expression from Elton John and Bernie Taupin, and made real by Robert Downey Jr. I mean, these are real people, and they're singing about real things, and they're saying that we carry these things that are too heavy for us. And this is where the word of Easter matters so much. Easter is not just bunnies and eggs and all of these. It's a beautiful, beautiful church here, but it is life for people who are dead. It is hope for people who despair. Jesus has really accomplished it. All the worst that humanity could throw at him on the cross on Good Friday, he took it all. He really died, didn't just fake it, and has really risen from the dead, which means that your sin and your death and all those things that you can't carry have been left in the tomb. The atonement has been accomplished. It is finished, as Jesus said. You are given a new life. Now, you won't get to see it all at once. This side of heaven, you see glimpses. And I have, and maybe you have too. You won't get to see it all this side of heaven, but you will. And you will see again those who you love but have lost. You will be restored and whole and holy. You will be who God always intended you to be, beloved and whole. And this is the promise of the one who says, Mary, and says your name, and it feels like home. Let us pray. Almighty God, where we are dead, give us new life, and help us to hold fast to that. And when we can't, we ask you to hold on to us. We pray this in the name of the risen Christ. Amen.